Along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here this morning, this cold January morning. However, most of us are healthy. We do have a few out, and we pray that for them that they'll be back with us just as soon as possible. So, and I'm so thankful that every one of us are healthy and are here. This morning, I'm going to bring to you a very simple and easy lesson to understand if you will listen with an open and honest heart. At the end of this lesson, I hope you'll see that you cannot be saved or go to heaven by faith only. You must have obedient faith. James says in James 2:24, "You see then how that by works or obedience a man is justified, and not by faith only." Not by faith only. So this morning I want to talk to you about grace through faith. Grace through faith. Most of us are aware that I was on a live daily call-in show for about 5 years, several years back. A lot of questions that we received on that program, as well as several comments that were made by the callers, indicate pretty clearly that modern denominational preaching has effectively obscured the truth of what God's Word actually teaches about grace. They have developed and spread the idea that salvation is totally the work of God, independent of anything that man may do, and that it is such a free gift from God that there's nothing man can do to effect his own salvation. Now, if this be true, then God has the sole responsibility for man's salvation, and anyone who is lost can point an accusing finger at God for his condition. Also, if one is saved and another is lost, and God is responsible for this, that God has become a respecter of persons. And my friends, that is just not true. He is no respecter of persons. So I suppose that no passage of Scripture has been more misused and abused by modern denominational preachers than Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You go ahead and turn your Bibles there if you like. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. I remember that my good friend Greg Littmer talking about an occasion when he was discussing a proposition for a debate with two independent Baptist preachers. One said they would just take Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 and affirm that, since what Greg believed denied it anyhow. In truth, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 teaches several wonderful truths. It is a clear and concise statement, and only preconceived and biased ideas can cause someone to misunderstand it. So let us notice what the passage says. Beginning in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." What does the passage say? At first, it says that we're saved by grace through faith. Second, it says that it is not of ourselves, but is a gift of God. And third, we do not merit salvation through our own works, so there is no place for boasting. I believe that's pretty clear. The problem arises, brethren, when some contend that since salvation is a gift of God, there are no conditions attached to it. For if there were conditions, they say it would not be a free gift. These same folks rule out any set of obedience as a factor in obtaining salvation. They assert that if conditions are to be set, then salvation is not by grace. It is not a gift, they say. That's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We're going to look at some examples of God's grace, how it prompted faith, and how obedient faith obtained God's blessings. First of all, let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. God wrote beginning in verse, Paul wrote beginning in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Verse 12, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So you see, my friends, God's grace appears with teaching, and that teaching must be accepted by faith, and that faith appropriates the blessing through obedience. It is not through merit, but through obedience of faith that God's grace bestows this blessing. Let's look at some examples with me this morning, if you would, and we'll see that that is so. Is there anyone here who would argue that Noah was saved by grace through faith and that it was not a gift of God? It was by the grace that Noah was warned of an impending flood and told to prepare an ark. Look at Genesis chapter 6, if you would. Verse 8 of Genesis 6 tells us, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As we look down at verse 22 of Genesis 6, we find recorded these words. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Thus did Noah, according to all God commanded him, so did he. Without question, Noah was saved through faith, but it was an obedient faith, without which he would have drowned like everybody else. Now let's look at Hebrews 11th chapter and read more about this. Hebrews 11th chapter. In verse 17, when we get there, the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Brethren, if Noah had simply believed and not obeyed, there would have been no ark and no salvation for him or for us. Note this now. Grace brought God's message to Noah. Faith accepted that message, and obedience to the terms of that message brought the blessing. He was saved by grace through faith as a gift of God, but only after he had obeyed. And I hope you can see that, can't you? Now let's go over to Numbers chapter 21. Let's go to Numbers 21 and read verses 1 through 9. Numbers 21, verses 1 through 9. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. Verse 3, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormath. Verse 4, and they journeyed from the Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither there any water, and our soul loath this light bread. This has only been about like 3 weeks that they left the bondage of Egypt. It's only been a couple, 2 or 3 weeks that they are freed. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass, that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now the children of Israel complained and they murmured, always murmuring against Moses and against God. As a result, they were visited by fiery serpents in their camp whose bite was fatal. The people repented and they confessed their sins before Moses and asked him to pray that God would take the serpents away from them. Moses did just that, and he was instructed to make a fiery serpent, which he did of brass. Place it upon a pole, and whosoever was bitten when he looked upon it would be healed. That's exactly what Moses did, and brethren, it worked. But notice the sequence of events here. First, you have grace brought the message and its terms. Second, faith accepted it. And third, an obedience to the terms obtaining the blessing. I believe that's clear. Israel was saved by grace through faith, which they obeyed. By grace through faith, which is obeyed. The children of Israel could not save themselves from that venomous bite. They were saved by the grace of God. I hope you see that, brethren. Let's talk about Naaman. Remember Naaman? Even though he was a captain of the host of Syria and a mighty man of valor, Naaman was a leper. However, he was a mighty fortunate leper, for a captive maiden suggested to his wife that a prophet in Samaria could cure him. Naaman sought out this great blessing, and turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, if you would. Elisha, the prophet, sent word by a servant to Naaman, and he said in verse 10, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. I'm sure you remember that at first Naaman resisted this. He wanted God to come to him. He said in verse 11, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Verse 12, Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, far better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? However, after being urged by his servants, he finally accepted the term that God had set forth through Elisha, and he was made clean. You see what's happened here, brethren? Once again, first, God's grace presented the terms, faith accepted it, and third, obedience to those terms, and Naaman was cleansed. To be sure, it was a gift of God, and Naaman acknowledged as much in verse 15, which says, And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he would never have received that gift without terms presented by grace. And faith was accepted those terms of obedience. Again, we can all see that, can't we? Now I want us to go to Jericho. Turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. How about the city of Jericho? As Israel stood before Jericho, God said unto Joshua in chapter 6 and verse 2, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. But then immediately God set forth the terms. He set the terms by which the city would be given. Here's what he instructed them to do. He instructed them to march around the city once each day for 6 days. Then around 7 times on the 7th day, The priests were to then blow on a trumpet, and the people were to shout. Now, when you put all that together, you have 15 conditions attached to the gift from God. Yes, indeed, 15 conditions. Would anyone argue that those conditions made it not a gift any longer? Would you recall that they obeyed and the city was theirs? Let's go to chapter 9 now, according to the Gospel of John. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We'll begin reading in verse 5, and we'll read verse 2, verse 11 of John chapter 9. Our passage says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went this way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that is the he that is set and begged?" Verse 9. Some say, "This is he." Others said, "It's like him," but he said, "I am he." Verse 10, "Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened?" In verse 11, he answered and he said, "A man is called Jesus, made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight." He did exactly what he was told to do. This was a man who had been blind from birth. And let me tell you, my friends, only God's grace could give him his sight. Jesus made a spittle, and he anointed his eyes, and he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And the man said, "I went and washed and received sight." So here we have it. First, God's grace had given the man the message. Second, he believed what he was told, and he went and did it. Third, he obeyed. He obeyed, and it was his obedience through faith to the message supplied by grace that resulted restored his sight. So again, he came seeing again. This is parallel with all the other cases studied. God's grace, God appeared teaching. Faith came as a result of hearing the word of God, and faith led to the complete obedience. And then the blessing was obtained. Can we see that? I hope we all can see that. Now I want us to notice one more thing this morning. After his resurrection from the dead and before Jesus left his apostles, he gave them what is referred to as the Great Commission. So let's notice how clearly this same salvation by grace through faith is detailed in it. Come with me to Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16 says, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Jesus knew that all men were lost. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Remember what Paul said in Romans 1:16. Therefore, it was by God's grace that salvation was extended through Jesus Christ our Lord. But it was made known through the gospel. If you would quickly turn to Acts 20 and look at verse 24. Acts 20 and verse 24. In Acts 20 and verse 24, it is referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. So for this reason, Jesus commissioned his apostles to preach to all the world. Grace was extended by teaching. Jesus also said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So that gospel had to be accepted in faith to result in salvation. If one did not believe, then grace alone would not save him. He would be damned. Yet it is necessary for that faith to be obedient, for Jesus stated so when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Not by grace only, not yet by faith only. Rather, after God's grace is made known by his teaching, there must be faith generated, and that faith must lead to obedience by baptism. I hope you can see that, brother. I hope you can see that. I hope our friends on the radio can see that, on the internet. So God laid out all these obedient things that they had to do to be saved. They did it. God did it his way. And his way today is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. That's the way God wants it. That's the way it is. That's the only way it's going to be. Jesus told his apostles, he said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Again, that's Mark 16:16. I want you to note that Jesus did not say, "He that believeth shall be saved, and then he should be baptized because he is saved." Now, on Pentecost, after people had been taught that Jesus is both Lord and Christ, they asked Peter and the other apostles what to do. They didn't know. They were lost. They hadn't been told what to do. They were damned. But he said, he told them what to do. He says, Peter did not tell them to admit that they were sinners, trust in Jesus, and make a commitment in prayer, did he? He didn't say that. He didn't tell them to invite Jesus to come into your heart, then you'll be saved forever. He didn't tell them that either, did he? He didn't tell them to follow the religion of their parents. No, he didn't tell them that. He didn't tell them that moral uprightness is all they needed. Just be a good person and you'll go to heaven. That's all that's needed. He didn't tell them all that. No. He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he told them. Acts 2:38. That's what he told them. Brethren, obedience to human relations and human arrangements will not save us. Human arrangements, regardless of what church denomination, they cannot be saved. We must obey Christ. Why? Because he is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Hebrews 4, verses 8 and 9. So I ask you, why not accept Jesus and follow him? Follow him to death, and he'll give you a gift of eternal life, which is heaven. If you're an unfaithful Christian, there's still time for you to repent to God and ask for prayers of the congregation. If there's anyone in here this morning that's in doubt in any way about their salvation, please come forward. And let us pray with you and pray for you. Remembering all the time, that we're all, every one of us, are just a breath away from eternity. Think about it. Just one breath away from eternity. So I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? If so, come forward as we stand. If not, come forward as we stand and as we sing. Brother Charlie.